sandwich of some kind. All right. Hi there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Live from Portland. All right, we should take this opportunity to note that we were not talking about Lisa Goddard from CNN just now. Tim Riley looking over the screen. That's a very revealing picture of Lisa Goddard from CNN. It's an unfortunate coincidence. We were talking about the chest tattoo. We were talking about Sarah's friend, Lisa, not to be confused. I repeat, not to be confused with Lisa Goddard from CNN Radio. In no way.
Well, I thought the pictures are the new hip CNN.
Yes, yeah, the new CNN trying to capture that young demo. All right. It's 503-733-2970. All right, Jesus. All right, in just a moment, we'll be welcoming Dennis Pitzenbarger to the Rick Emerson Show from the Berlin Rim. And we'll talk about, do we have a picture of Lisa, not Lisa Goddard, but your friend Lisa, that we can maybe put up at some point, or... Is she on your MySpace? Or?
Let me call her.
Whatever, not a big deal. But I mean, so people can know what we're talking about.
Yeah, I'll put her in my top eight right now.
All right, Lisa will be put in Sarah's top eight here in just a moment. All right, so not on Sarah. So go to myspace.com/TheRickEmersonShow, right? myspace.com/TheRickEmersonShow. And in just a moment, the Lisa that we are talking about will be in the top eight there. You'll be able to see what she looks like. It's 503-73, which I mean in a non-creepy way. 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Is this Hog Whitman?
Hey, Rick.
It is. It's Hog Whitman. Oh, we were just talking about you. Where have you been, man? You've been gone for like 3 years.
During the unpleasantness of I just heard you were back on the air, so I thought I'd turn you in. I didn't turn you in. That was somebody else.
Thank you.
I heard somebody say something. He's asking if I had died or not. No, I'm...
You are here alive and vibrant as always, Hog.
I am. Well, I don't know about the vibrant part. But,
okay.
Yeah. I am drawing breath and all that good stuff.
Excellent. All right. Well, it's good to know that you were lurking out there, my friend. We thought you might have departed us. We thought you might have drunk and consumed so much of life that your body just gave out on you.
That makes the miracle of liver transplants. I'm quite fine.
Okay.
I'll send you something. I'm still, occasionally screwing around and.
All right. Yeah. Please do. Please drop us some of your audio whimsy, my friend. All right, thank you. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Hog Whitman. All right, it's 503-733-2970. I am not going to get to the song today about girls who cut themselves. I just know that I'm not going to. So just know that right now. Let's go to the city desk, after which we'll welcome Dennis Pitzenbarger to the program. Ladies and gentlemen, your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From high above the bottom of the Coy Tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News. Dave Kibale reporting. Police in Olathe, Kansas say three men and a woman put on quite a show at the Holiday Inn over the weekend. It was a steamy performance that they're going to have to explain to a judge. There were three in the jacuzzi in plain view of everyone in Kansas, and somebody called the police.
Plain view of everyone in Kansas.
They witnessed the three people engaged in sexual activity and people in the rooms observing them.
Here's how you know that it's a story about ugly people, by the way. It contains the phrase steamy and or romp.
And they're in Kansas. What did you pull the headline?
Yeah, that's true. It's like anytime you hear the phrase Sobey Island, you know what I'm talking about. It's just, man, it's like acres and acres of pink flab.
Hotel employees emptied and disinfected the jacuzzi to make it more family friendly. The fashion styling of gangsta baggy pants are all the rage for young teens in Kansas. And police are huge fans of the baggy look, too. Police say they love the new look, as law-breaking thugs can't run fast enough to get away. Kansas City Police Officer Darren Snap credits the oversized pants to capturing one criminal.
Darren Snap?
Yeah, Darren Snap.
All right. I had a guy running from me, and actually seen him strip off his pants just because he's having so much problems running. They're down by his ankles at this
all
time.
All kinds of grammar going on here.
He takes them off and continues running, and little did he know he had his ID in his pants. I just picked up his pants, checked his wallet, went to his house, and I sat on his porch and waited for him to come home. Sure enough, he walks up in his boxer shorts saying, you got me.
It's another exciting day in Kansas.
It was on the one of the Holiday Inns of the big jacuzzi party.
Today from the Rust Bucket Crime Blotter. All right, there you go. There was I seen him running in his pants because he has so much troubles with running. There you go. There's Officer Darren Snapp. Darren Snapp sounds like he ought to be some sort of a judge on a fashion program on Bravo.
Oklahoma City police have confiscated more than 50 chickens used for cockfighting. Police Sergeant Gary Knight says alert neighbors were suspicious about a man housing so many roosters and very few hens.
Detectives and officers went out to a residence in the 18,000 block of Southeast 149th Street in reference to some reported cockfighting going on. Okay. Neighbors had originally alerted police to it. They had seen some suspicious activity.
Okay.
Former General Motors plant in Anderson, Indiana has been reduced to large piles of rubble. Plant number 11 was in such poor condition that, well, they couldn't have used it for anything more than a warehouse. The man said the company should pay the city to remove the rubble. Townspeople at Anderson have now taken to raising rabbits for pets and food. Baltimore police have arrested the mother of a 15-year-old girl on allegations of child abuse. They were called to Beeler Avenue yesterday morning after a 10-year-old boy heard somebody crying for help. Detective Donnie Moses said an arriving officer heard cries coming from a locked room.
The officer then called for help. At that time, more officers came to the scene, kicked the door in when they found a 15-year-old female chained to the bed with the right ankle.
The girl told police she was being punished for bringing home a bad report card.
Okay. Where? Where is this?
That's in Baltimore.
I wonder what passes for a bad report card in Baltimore. I'm sorry, in Baltimore. All right.
This comes to us from Florida.
Oh, yeah, for the love of... Wait, hold on. No, no. Oh, yeah.
In less than 4 hours, all 4,500 of Florida's alligator hunting permits have been issued. The hunting season was extended this year because of the ferocity of the alligators. With each permit, hunters are allowed to take two gators that are at least 18 inches long. The Alligator Commission of the state said this is one of the few times that they've been sold out of the annual permits and believe the recent high-profile alligator killings are behind the increased interest.
I did get, by the way, numerous alligator stories sent to me yesterday after we talked to a man named Criswell. So we're going to have him back on. I'm going to find an excuse to get that guy back on at some point.
Here's another Florida story involving alligators.
Wait.
A man shot and killed a gator that was reportedly threatening his neighbor. Sky Budin told authorities his neighbor called him about a 5-foot alligator menacing him and his three dogs in the yard. By the time Budin arrived, Kimberly Jackson was fending off the reptile with a pitchfork. I didn't know what to think, said Budin. Most of all, I didn't want anything to happen to Kim or the dogs. Budin shot the gator twice in the head, and that was enough. It sure was a hectic situation, but it was something that we recommend doing, said the authorities. Alligators can become more aggressive and attacked if not killed immediately. Bowden says he loves animals, but didn't mind killing the gator. It was him or us, said he. Britney Spears may insist that her marriage to Kevin Federline is awesome, but apparently they're giving each other plenty of space. The couple recently went on vacation to Florida, but they reportedly stayed in separate rooms.
Vacation to where?
Florida. Spears and K-Fed, as he's commonly known now.
No, he's not. No, I can't even work up the... Never mind. Go ahead.
Spent a whopping $250,000 for getaway to Aqua Island, according to the upcoming issue of In Touch Weekly, which Sarah Dillon might have.
Sarah, you have that laying around there, don't you? Boy, man, I saw the worst picture of her this morning, sitting on a bed, big moo-moo, looking all
horrible.
Apparently,
there was a big public romp on the beach with their 10-year-old son, but then the two stayed clear of each other. In fact, Spears rented two houses so they wouldn't have to stay together.
This is like that thing when Bill and Hillary went to Martha's Vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Jessica Simpson devastated that her ex-hubby, Nick Lachey, is dating Vanessa Minnillo because she once used to be bunnies with this woman. The MTV host pursued Simpson's friendship after the two met in 2003, this according to the Star. Minnillo regularly invited her to girls' night out and out to dinner. When Jess and Nick were falling apart, Jess confided in Vanessa, a source tells the newspaper, and Minnillo used to urge her to leave Lachey. All for her own jealous reasons.
All right, then.
A group of Malaysian students claimed to have set a world's record after they crammed 21 people in a 1999 Mini Cooper. The students took 4 minutes to fit themselves in.
Where are they? Where?
This came to us from Kuala Lumpur.
Is that an Asian country?
I believe so, yes.
Well, I don't know. It's not in America.
No,
all right. Well, I mean, they're a diminutive people, though.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there ought to be some sort of a prorating system there. No, really, let's be honest, but we can just speak openly. We're adults here. It seems like stuffing 50 Malaysians into a car is not necessarily the same as stuffing 50 of, like a dentist into a car.
Unless the Malaysians move here and start eating our diet.
Yes, in which case they all become weebles.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's true. You've seen it. You've seen those people in the South Pacific, an Asian diet, and so they, you know, they're smaller people. But then we go over there and just, we just airdrop McDonald's onto them, you know, and that's it, man. That's our secret weapon for getting rid of the rest of the world. Suddenly everybody's a sphere. Yeah. All right.
All right.
Well, there you go. We're done now.
Yeah, we're done now, I think.
I don't think there's any oxygen in this room.
It doesn't matter.
I'm sorry.
What are you apologizing for?
Because I'm gross. I'm coughing. I'm trying not to.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Do you have a sound? Do
we? I think he does today.
Oh, wait.
Oh, God.
No, we'll just... See, but listen how pleasant this sounds now. Connie Chung has raised the bar, or lowered it, depending on what one's viewpoint is. This song just sounds, this sounds like sweet, sweet cream now. This sounds like butter in my ears.
Oh, we haven't had our Starbucks Green Apron book.
That's true.
Moment of the day.
I'm letting this wash the chung away. That sounds disgusting.
You have a little chung on you, Rick. Can we scrape that off for you?
My God, between Hog Whitman coming out of hiding.
Sorry, you got to clean your chung. All right. how's that cough working up for you? You got coughing up a little chung there? Yeah, all right.
You throw enough chung in the sea,
yeah,
you're going to attract sharks.
All right. Pack some chung into the wastebasket here, pardon me. All right, Dennis from the Portland Tribune, how are you, sir?
I don't know.
Get in line, then.
What a day it has been. Abusing Aunt Jemima. Wasn't that the word phrase?
No, we were abusing. Let's be very clear on this. Tim Riley was telling a story about his father having... Was it burned? He was burned by his Aunt Jemima... Okay, I got to be very clear on this. There is an actual product spokeswoman, Aunt Jemima. She is the mascot for the syrup, right? No, that's Mrs. Butterworth.
Aunt Jemima...
What did Aunt Jemima even sell?
Well, it must be waffles, because that's why his father was burned.
This is the weirdest conversation. Tim Riley was telling a story yesterday about growing up in the East Coast in New Hampshire, about his father, as a boy, went to, like, a local store to meet, like, it was like, come down, it was like, meet Santa Claus, like, come down and meet the real Aunt Jemima. It was like a woman there dressed up as the mascot, as the character, woman dressed as the product spokeswoman of Aunt Jemima. And Tim's father apparently was grumpy or did something or other, and the woman dressed as Aunt Jemima picked up Tim's dad's hand and held it to a stove and burned him. Aunt Jemima burned the hand of a child. And Tim's phrase was, my father cursed Aunt Jemima the rest of his days. There you go. That was on yesterday's program. That was Tim Riley, a journalist and newsman, who said that. It is part of a news segment here on the Rick Emerson Show, operating in the public interest, convenience, and necessity.
That is great, by the way. I do want to download that.
The Connie Chung?
Oh, it's fabulous.
Oh, the Connie Chung thing is genius.
One more time through, just for me.
Let's just one more time. Let's do the whole end.
Thank you so much.
Greatest goddamn thing ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
No, it really is pretty great.
I don't know who came, I don't know who the caller was, but for the car alarm,
yeah.
Every car alarm manufacturing company in the world right now should be downloading that from
I want to make it my cell phone ring. And speaking of car alarms and an idea, I had the best idea last night. You tell me this is not the greatest idea ever. You know what we should sell? We should sell this right now and we'll make a ton of money from geeks like myself. Little licensing issue at stake, but will you get that smoothed out? Money in the bank. You know what they ought to sell? They ought to sell a replica of that alarm clock from Groundhog Day, and then the ring is that whole speech from the scene. Put on your booties, cappers. It's cold outside. It's Groundhog Day. And then it plays I Got You, Babe. Come on, it's genius. You would totally buy that to give to your, like, the movie lover in your life.
Or just the white elephant gift every Christmas.
It's a fantastic idea.
I also wanted to ask you about, it's funny, the last time I was on the show, you brought up paralyzed and pregnant.
I did not bring up hi, Sarah. Sarah doesn't know what we're talking about here.
Oh, it was a show that was on
Discovery. Tim was doing TV Tonight. And what was it today? Skin's falling off.
Yeah.
What was the show today?
My skin is killing me.
My skin is killing me.
Pregnant and paralyzed.
Tim was like, TV Tonight, blah, 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 blah. Pregnant and paralyzed on the Discovery. It's a program called Pregnant and Paralyzed. And then it was followed up by something equally hideous. Something, you know, my brain is on fire, or, you know, there are aphids in my skull, or some awful thing. You know, there are weevils under my flesh. Some awful program. But Pregnant and Paralyzed, yes. I did not watch that program, by the way.
I did, though. That's the funny part, is I...
Why?
They have some sort of message in the signal for that show, because I sat there, I clicked on it, and I could not...
I think
not...
the message is, don't get pregnant if you're paralyzed.
Well, that was definitely the
yeah, and wear a seatbelt.
Well,
what was
that,
what
or you
mean?
Just you'd be like playing the endless game of wheelbarrow.
Okay. So, do we have a point here discussing Pregnant and Paralyzed?
I just thought it was interesting. I actually watched the show, and I just thought it was fascinating. I really do take the tidbits of the newsroom provided by...
I don't want to talk about children.
I don't want to talk about
this. This is another excuse to show us baby photos. Yeah.
No. No. By the way, unemployed Fred Flintstone.
Sarah, back me up on this. Does Dennis not look a little rumpled today?
He looks a little rumpled.
Yeah, hasn't...
Rumpled.
When was the last time you shaved?
He doesn't look like Fred Flintstone.
You kind of got that.
I think you're jealous because he has like the, like, kind of 5 o'clock shadow thing that you can't quite get.
Like,
I can get the
day.
5 o'clock shadow. I don't because I shave.
It's shaved. Look, it's trimmed up.
When is the last time you shaved?
Day before yesterday. No, day before today.
All right, so that's 2 days. That's pretty impressive. But you shaved your neck, though.
Well, then, because I'm lazy. Okay, when it comes right down to it, I'm lazy.
I don't really care this much about another man.
I don't. Can we talk about cars for once? I've been trying and trying.
Yeah, we'll never get to this. I have too much to say about this Lisa situation, too. The Lisa wanting to get the tattoo. We're going to have to talk about that. We should probably get her on tomorrow and just have an endless procession of guys yell at her.
Women and tattoos is a sketchy topic because it has to be the right tattoo
for the right woman.
That's
what I'm saying. And then here's the thing. Here's the thing about tattoos. It is so easy to get the wrong tattoo. It is almost, I would say, for most... Well, yeah.
I know about the wrong tattoo.
Well, you've got a... Dennis is presumably... claims to be a conservative. He has a huge pot leaf tattooed on his left arm. So...
You know, it's one of those things... I just didn't think...
I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying you don't think about these things at the time. And Lisa's not, you know, a kid. She's in her 20s, something.
She's in her... she's around 30. I don't know what I'm supposed to
that
say.
That was a David Brent kind of answer here. You're 30, not 30s. You're 30, not 30s. But here's the thing about with women and tattoos. I think for guys it's different, though, because guys, I think, can get away with looking kind of somehow, because women know that we're dumb.
I can just say that this is a stupid thing that I did when I was 19.
Women know that you're kind of stupid as a guy. Just it comes with the territory. You're a guy, you're kind of dense. And so women will kind of be like, ugh, yeah, this dumb tattoo that he got. You know what? It doesn't. And plus, guys get tattoos in just a couple places. Shoulder, or sometimes like the ankle. Isn't it Scott Daly that's got the gay tattoo of, what is it? Is it the Duran Duran tattoo?
He does. Wow.
Yeah. Lucky thing that he usually shows it to me when he's standing next to his hot wife, or otherwise, you know, you think he's playing for the other team. He's got the tattoo on his ankle, or guys get it on the shoulder, sometimes on like your shoulder blade on your back. Like my brother's got the power, the Chinese character, whatever the hell it is. You know,
the 1 millionth guy to get the panther crawling. You know, I mean.
But guys don't like the thing about the guys getting the battleship on their chest. That's a thing of the 40s and the 50s. That doesn't happen much anymore.
No.
And I think we can all agree here. Man, woman, gay, straight, doesn't matter. I think we can all agree that the female body is just inherently more aesthetically pleasing than the male body. I don't care whether you're a woman or a man, or you're straight or you're lesbian or whatever. I think we all know that this is true. That inherently, there's just something inherently sort of pleasing about the female form, you know, in just terms of aesthetics and whatever, however you want to call it. With men, it's like going to the Costco and it's like nothing but exposed ductwork. You know, and it's just
nobody wants to see me with my shirt on.
I think even most women don't want to see like a bunch of nude guys everywhere. I think it's kind of unpleasant. I'm not saying for everybody, I'm generally speaking. So for men, it's kind of a wash anyway. You know what I mean? Most guys, it's like, what are you really ruining there? With women, though, picking the tattoo is so tricky that I think in almost 90% of the cases, it's better just to err on the side of, like, don't get one at all. Because if you're a woman and you get the wrong tattoo in the wrong place, I'm not saying, I mean...
That's what I was thinking, because that is like a place you don't want to screw up.
Yeah, seriously. You know? It's right on the chest, too. And I mean...
And there's no taking that back.
No.
Where does she...
She wants to get...
Like the, up the, here, upper, like on your stern, on her sternum.
Like, yeah, right between like her breasts and her shoulder, like up there.
Like this is like, yeah, like your sternum, like your breastplate.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's okay. Where she wants to get it. And again,
she's
it is.
Yeah,
she's not actually on her breast, but I mean, just but above them.
And Lisa doesn't dress like a nun. I mean, Lisa dresses in a not.
Does she wears a lot of like revealing
dress like a hoe, but yeah. I mean, yeah, but she wears tank tops, things that are kind of low cut. I mean, you know, she dresses in a flattering way for her form. That tattoo, man, though, it's just it just seems like a bad idea, especially because.
Do you have any idea what the tattoo is?
Yeah, I can't say though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Why can't you say what it
because
is?
Because she is. Because her idea, she doesn't
want to
say it.
Oh, she just wanted stolen? Or
yeah.
Just wanted, okay, no, I understand that.
Well, if it's something that's really creative, if it draws you in, I mean, I can't say that. I've seen large tattoos on women, and if they're...
Have you ever seen a tattoo that made a woman look more attractive?
Yes.
Nah, come on. I say that at best a tattoo is kind of cool or you don't really think about it. I have never seen a tattoo where you go, well, you were only an 8 before, but the tattoo makes you a 9. I've seen it a whole lot of times the other way.
Storm's tattoo, though, is really awesome.
That's a very good example. Do you mean attractive or do you mean hot? Because, I mean, to me,
I'm
if you're talking about it, that's
whatever. Wherever a woman is on the classic 1 to 10 scale, you take a 0 to 10 scale for a woman, the classic 0 to 10 scale, wherever it is in your own head, it's all relative. You know, a 9 to one guy is a 5 to another guy. Whatever. I'm saying you take a woman, and all guys do this. You know, you mentally you put her on there. You're like, well, she's a 7 or whatever. I can think of almost no one, female, who like, well, she was, you know, a 5 and the tattoo makes her a 6. It almost always, though, works. I can think of a lot of women where it's like, she's a 7. And like this friend of Lara's. Again, I don't mean to pick it up. And she's married, so he clearly doesn't mind. But, I mean, gorgeous woman, very well endowed, huge butterfly right in the middle of the chest. And, I mean, it's big, and it's in the middle of the chest, and then onto, you know, her actual dirty pillows. The actual, it's a big moth or a tattoo or something, or a butterfly. And I just find it so unappealing. It's like, because, like, in your head, you just constantly want to be reaching and, like, peeling it off and going, there you go, now we're good. You know?
I think it's almost like,
and
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I think it could turn out nice, but I think that, like you were saying, that is a chance.
There's a risk, man.
And, but, yeah.
You almost have to look at it
and
like
all
it's
you
garnish.
Can hope for
like, the, it's, like, if you had a great steak, if you look at it like some, well, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
if
Lisa was a prime rib and you put the perfect side dish with it, yeah. It just looks that much more.
All I'm saying is the best you can hope for is a wash.
You guys say
Storm, and the tattoo makes Storm look. I'm not saying.
Well, it doesn't make her look hotter, but she's so gorgeous to begin with.
She can pull it off.
She could totally pull it off.
That has a lot to do with it.
But again, let's realize this was Storm. Unless we're talking about a tattoo I haven't seen, you're talking about a tattoo on her back.
Yeah, but it's enormous.
But okay, but I don't care what the tattoo is. There's a world of difference between a tattoo on your leg, your ankle, and a tattoo on your chest if you're a woman.
That's why I've always kind of stayed away from getting any, because I only have one tattoo I got when I was 16, and it's on my back. I like having this area not have anything on it, you know?
I think a lot of it is growing up. I mean, you know, you're a guy, you're looking at women in Playboy, you're looking at women on TV, whatever, and I think we're so acclimated to tattoos elsewhere that it's not really a turnoff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we are used to, fairly or not, I think we are used to a certain... image of women and certain, we are used to certain sections of the female anatomy, generally speaking, all kind of looking a certain way. You put that big tattoo right in the middle, and I'm just saying it seems like the odds are so high and the risk is so enormous. I don't know.
The risk determines on who the woman is that's getting the tattoo, because if the woman can pull it off, and again, going back to Storm with her tattoo on her back,
mm-hmm.
She pulls that off fabulously. It looks like part of her persona, and obviously we all know her, so it fits perfectly. You know, I've only met your friend a couple times in just general passing, like, hey, how's it going? This is our friends. But just from the small impression I got from her, she's the kind of person that can pull that off. If you look at her and your first impression is with the sleeve and her general, I don't know, I hate to use the word aura, but her general overall personality, the sleeve it just goes right over the top of the head. It looks right on her. Therefore, something like that could probably fit together really well. Now, if all of a sudden you, Sarah, came in one day and, you know, look at my tank top and had, you know, the Emerson Show tattooed across your
neck. That's a great idea.
But I mean, I'm, you know, whatever, you know, no. Whatever. whatever you wanted there, it would be, it wouldn't fit you.
Mm-hmm.
And that has a lot to do with it.
Do we have to take a break?
Yeah.
All right. We have some phone calls here too. So we'll do this. We'll come back and take some more phone calls. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up tomorrow on the Rick Emerson Show, Jen Lane will be here. Coming up Friday, two very big announcements here on the Rick Emerson Show. And stay tuned. Back after this, it's AM 970 Solid State Radio. All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. Scotty's reminding me that we have not yet done the top five, which he created and laboriously put together for today.
Scotty also made the entire building smell like B.O. with his sandwich.
Really? What kind of sandwich was it?
Some kind of Quiznos sandwich.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Scotty. You're going to have to just sort of learn to be zen with the fact that many, many things don't get done on time on this program, Scotty. You're just going to have to learn to live with that. And here's, by the way, here's the thing. I came in this morning. This is like the fourth time this happened. Sarah was shoving a container of cottage cheese under my nose today. I would smell this. And I said, why? Because it's rancid.
The cottage cheese was fine, but it was in that fridge.
But why do you want me to smell it?
Because I want, maybe the smell hadn't penetrated the cottage cheese. I wanted to ask.
I'm not your guinea pig. Make Scotty do it. And then, of course, but then I refused to do it, but then you did eventually smell it. And, of course, yeah, terrible. It was awful. So these are all things I'm not going to do. I got a headache. It's 503-733-2970. Here's the thing. One of these days, we're all going to die. I mean, like not like one of these days, like many years in the future. I mean, like next week. And then they're going to come in, and Sean Couples is going to be tearing apart the studio. And they're going to go, what do you know? There was a radon leak this whole time. And he will have not believed us.
The walls are caked with asbestos.
Yeah, seriously. Do you even doubt it? Asbestos and black mold. We're here with Dennis Pitzenbarger from the Portland Tribune. I got a question for you that a guy emailed him, and I got to find it. In the meantime, tell us about this rocket car.
Well, I got this passed along to me. I just thought it was the greatest thing on earth, man. This guy has the only rocket-powered, like, street-legal car. He built it out of all things, a VW Beetle, one of the new Beetles. It has, like, 1,500 horsepower. You know, it has the capability of going something like 250 miles an hour. But he can top himself because he decides to put two jet motors on the side.
Now, how can it be street legal?
I have no idea. I mean, maybe he lives in the sticks. Maybe he's from Kansas, like the last piece of news you guys did. But I don't know. Actually, I think he's from California, so I'm sure as long as it's not gas-powered, it can be street legal. But he decides to put two jet motors on his wife's Metropolitan scooter. I thought that was the greatest thing ever. I mean, according to the article, and I talked to this guy, we're going to have him on stuff for the show for the Fuel Show. And
a TV show going on, which is that what, the first Friday, the first Saturday?
No, first Saturday of every month.
Okay.
And we're going to have this guy be a part of that because we want to get some footage of this thing. But apparently when he lights this thing off, now, I don't know if this is love or contempt for your wife, but apparently the idea is that his wife can be traveling along at 40 miles an hour. She can ignite the two jet motors, as you can see here. Or if you go to thefuelshow.com, there's a picture there. She can ignite the motors and instantly be traveling at 150 miles an hour.
It's fantastic.
On a scooter, which begs the question to ask is, does he love his wife or does he have a very good insurance agent?
And listen to this. We've got this. Rick, I think the mystery sound is the... Listen to this. We have to do a whole segment of just things the mystery sound is not. Rick, I believe the mystery sound is the pentagram of prizes. Now we're actually just getting guesses from earlier on in the day, because that's when we had like an hour ago.
It is a deep-voiced dolphin. No. I don't know. I mean, I have sat, and I don't even want to talk about it. I have sat... Thank you.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. I can't find the question that the actual email from the guy, but here's what it is. The guy sent me an email. I don't know. It's been a couple weeks ago now, so who knows? But a guy sent me an email.
when I was here?
His question was about getting popped by the photo radar.
Yeah.
And his question is the same thing that every guy has. Is there any way that I can fight that? And before I ask you, not that you are, and we should know that you are not a police officer, but you are a man with some automotive knowledge. Here, don't call about the mystery sound.
Look at those things.
Don't. Please, for the love of sweet zombie Jesus. All right. Because here's why the photo raider question makes me angry. It makes me angry not because I'm a speeder and you ought to get what's coming to you. It makes me angry because there are several questions in this world, and you all know what I'm talking about, questions that I hate hearing asked publicly because you know what comes next. Somebody asks a question, and then it's a wave of guys holding a beer in one hand and kind of hitching up their shirts with the other, going, well, let me tell you, the fact of the matter is, and then it's, they start uncorking a bunch of crap, and you know they don't know what the hell they're talking about. They all sound like Dale Gribble on King of the Hill. It's all a lot of, Rick, if you go into a courtroom and they have the gold fringe flag, legally that's maritime flag, which means that you are not bound by any of it. Save it. No one cares, Chet. No one. I've used the example in the past of why do people tap their cigarette case? And I quit asking it because 80 different people will have 80 different responses. No one knows. It is a thing that everyone does, and everyone has their own reason. There is no definitive answer. Please do not call and claim that there's a definitive answer. So when you ask a guy about photo radar or about radar guns in general, you'll hear these idiot responses, and they always run along the line of, well, Rick, here's the thing. It's what you got to do is you get your lawyer to subpoena the radar detector to testify. And since a radar detector is a machine and not a human being, it cannot testify. And therefore, the judge is legally obliged to throw it out. Every guy has a variation in that response, which is clearly like a load of conspiratorial gibberish. My question to you is, do you know the actual real answer to this, generally speaking, about trying to fight photo radar?
Generally speaking, I would say this, that if you have a front license plate on your car, regardless if you're driving the car or not, and they pop you, you're done.
Just take it like a man.
Just accept it, pay the extra $19 a year on your insurance policy, and live with it. Don't speed. There's places to speed, and you have to pick and choose your times and places. And, if they've got your car with your front license plate, and it doesn't matter whether you have a hat or glasses or you're holding your hand in front of your face, it doesn't matter.
Seriously.
Because the ticket goes to where the car is registered. Now, there is one and only way to fight photo radar. Take the chance of taking your front license plate off of your car, which, of course, then you can...
Now, I thought that was illegal to not have a front plate.
Well, I mean, most people...
Is it true? Most of you... Okay, now, most of the cars you drive don't have a front plate.
That's because they're press vehicles, and they don't...
Oh, I see.
If they're out of state... Not all states require a front license plate, but because I get pulled over once a week for this, Oregon does require a front license plate. If you don't have it there, there's nothing. I mean, I smile.
What do they do to you when you get pulled over for not having a front plate?
Oh, I have like a dossier that I have to pull out. And like, you know, I have to give them a blood sample and a, you know.
But I mean, you just say like I'm with the press and they let you roll?
No, I have a whole thing that I have to carry with me. That
it's an out-of-state car.
Oh, I got the loaner agreement, my insurance, their insurance, all this paperwork and whatnot.
Right.
And they have to search the car in case I'm, you know, traveling.
In case you're holding.
Well, of course, half the time I have my poker chip cases in the back.
Hey, Siri, so what's in the case, son?
Plutonium and, dead kids' eyeballs. I mean, it's retarded. So the only thing you can do, basically, is take the front license plate off of your car, and then they have nothing to photograph except for you smiling while you wave.
Now, and then quit your bitching. That's the other. Quit your bitching about it.
Don't.
I mean, here's the thing is, and I'm look, and if you want to go to court and try to give him an excuse, too, like, well, look, I was late, or I didn't realize it. I actually knew a girl one time. She actually said she got popped with the photo radar thing, and she actually went to court. And this is where her actual excuse was. She was driving a convertible. She's like, it was a new convertible. It was a sunny day. I had Sammy Hagar on the radio, and I didn't realize I was speeding. And the guy's like, well, what are you going to do? And he cut it in half. He didn't kick it out, but he cut it in half.
Honesty will get you
but just
farther.
Don't go there and try busting out a bunch of Clyde Lewis crap about how the machine is really, you know, put there by the Libyans and you can't testify against you. Just
That will never happen.
No.
I will tell
and
you
And the
this.
Judge hates it when you try to do that.
Oh, the best thing you can do, absolute best thing you can do for traffic tickets, whatever you're going to do, go to court. Plead your case and be honest.
Yeah.
If you start hiding things under your seat while the cop is walking up to your
window, tossing a baggie out into the field,
I mean, you're done. If you just look at them and you have your driver's license here and you go, I'm an idiot.
Yeah. And tell them everything you're going to do before you do it.
Oh, yeah.
Reach real slowly.
Yeah.
Don't be like, I got to reach into the glove box now. You know, dive for it. Yeah, don't do any of those things.
Pull shiny objects like a lighter that your granddad gave you out of the glove box and see if he'll react.
Yes.
I mean, the best thing you can do is just
say,
be honest.
Sir.
But go to court because 90% of the time, guess what? The cop doesn't show up and you get it thrown out of court.
Hey, speaking of going to court. We come back, we'll talk a little bit about, we're counting down until this woman who allegedly hit Sarah's car. That's when, next.
So I couldn't have, well, since there wasn't a cop dealing with it, she's going against a judge. They'll show up, right?
What?
The judge?
What are you talking about? The woman?
Yeah, the woman.
Well, because if she doesn't show up, they'll come and put her in the pokey.
If they, if she doesn't show up,
she walks away.
A warrant for her arrest.
Yes. All right. We'll be back. We're here with Dennis Spitzenberger. It's 503-7332 in 970. 503-733-2970. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland. Don't go anywhere. Back out of this. So very, very tired. Man, bird flu is catchy. All right. It's going to be all this pressure the next time I talk to Lisa Goddard, too.
It's totally built up.
It's going to be all this unspoken whatever hanging in the air.
Because you know that she's talking about the fact that she thinks you have a crush on her. Because nobody else would be saying it.
So you think that she told Laura, that Rick Emerson has a crush on me.
Well, who else would know?
No, it's true.
You have a crush on Lisa Goddard?
I don't.
Did I miss something, Sarah?
Rick thinks it's vice versa.
I don't.
Oh.
I don't even understand what we're talking about anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that she and I have a certain playful flirtatiousness when we talk, as one intellectual to another.
I'm saying that playful flirtatiousness is going to lead to her buying a ticket to Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. so I roll. Mathlete style, baby.
Look at that smile. All of a sudden, you just turned into, whoa, the sequined suit comes out there.
Suddenly I'm pimping. All right. Hey, by the way, I gotta tell you this. I don't know what you are doing tonight. I don't know what you are doing tonight, but if you don't know what you're doing tonight, I'm gonna tell you. You are gonna be going to Dante's tonight, 9:30. Tonight's 21st, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you're gonna be, you gotta catch a storm in the balls tonight, their last gig for the summer. It is tonight, Wednesday the 21st. That is tonight, my friends. 9:30 p.m. Dante's, storm in the balls. It is their last Dante's gig for the summer. Well, those guys are so, they're playing.
Well, they tour in other parts of the country, but, now I gotta find a babysitter. Thanks.
That's what I'm saying. You gotta do it.
For the love of.
So tonight, Wednesday the 21st, 9:30 p.m., catch, storm and the balls, their last Dante's gig, for the summer. You gotta check that out. So it's, if you have never, I'm telling you this, and if you got a date, wife, girlfriend, whatever, try to grease the wheels a little bit.
Trying to convince her that a night with a woman might be a good idea.
Seriously.
And a woman not being Storm, but it'll get her in the mood.
Seriously, that's true. If you feel like she's just a six-pack away from bisexuality, you can skip the six-pack. Just put her in the presence of Storm for like an hour.
Yeah, or be careful, because Storm will just steal her.
Well, it's not such a bad thing.
No.
Who among us wouldn't do that? Like, just bring her back in the same condition he found her. Whatever. I don't care.
Well, seriously, the scratches.
Seriously, if any guy, if Storm just stopped by and I'm going to have your woman for an hour, you'd be like, okay, whatever. I'm going to go play some video poker. You just drop her off here. I'll pick her up. You know what I mean? The thing is, it would probably ruin the woman for you. It's like, how could you, how could you
fall? Storm doesn't do it that way.
This is so awkward. All right.
Sounds like really personal.
Sounds like somebody has a little too much knowledge. All right. 503-733-2970. 503. Okay. I apologize, right now in front of, as they used to say in eighth grade, I now apologize in front of God and everyone to, Aaron Geek in the City, because I now realize that for the third day in a row, I have failed to play the Week in Geek. I could play it tomorrow, just so you know, I will, because it's got good production values and it uses a lot of Mortal Kombat noises. Everything out of date. Everything will have passed. None of the events will be attendable. Everything he talks about, it'll be too late to do, and you'll just be left with a sense of sort of bitter, hollow emptiness. But it's got good production values. I'm going to play that tomorrow, sir.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Why?
You're a bad person.
I had better things to do today. I just... No, that's not even really true. I just forgot. I didn't write it down in front of me, and so I forgot. And stuff. All right. Okay. Here's some other things we didn't get to.
You did get to Hog Whitman, though.
We did. That's what counts. I didn't get to Scotty's Top 5. That'll be out of date tomorrow, but what are you going to do? We'll do that anyway. Are you serious? Is that what it's really called? That's the actual name of the special, Scotty? That's the... Okay. He's a driver at a hospital? Saturday, it's a dentist? He's, okay, a caller just, okay, I realize this is gripping. We have a lot of delivery drivers in the audience, like 80% of our audience. a delivery driver who delivers to a local hospital said that apparently at one of our area hospitals, the daily special today is, I'm quoting now, this is the name of the daily special at one of our area hospitals, Granny's Meat with Vegetables. There you go. Granny's Meat with Vegetables, and he cursed Aunt Jemima the rest of his days. That's a callback there in comedic terms. All right.
Whatever happened to the gay truck driver that loved Kyle?
Oh, the gay bread truck driver?
The gay bread truck driver that loved Kyle?
I mean, with that picture of Scotty on the MySpace, I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, I get emails from the gay bread truck driver about Scotty, too. Don't you doubt that. Okay, so, and let's see. Anything else I have time to? No, nothing.
No.
All right, how long do we have here? Like a minute?
A minute and a half.
You know what that reminds me of is the Dumb and Dumber. Very close.
Most annoying sound in the world. I do have something pleasing, by the way. I have something pleasing. Let me see if I can find it in time to play it. This is, a guy sent this to us. This was his submission for It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. I don't think we actually ever had time to play it here. Let me see if I actually have time to roll it out, as they say, Monday. All right, here we go. This is a little cleansing. This was his submission for It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard.
Of nature governed silently, creating perfect honey from the bee.
This is a commercial for honey made by people on a farm somewhere.
And by adding Vedic melody, we blossom in totality with Maharishi Vedic organic honey. Maharishi lands of world peace.
There you go.
Wow.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. Make a note of a Dennis Pitzenbarger Fuel Show every Saturday, every first Saturday.
Every first Saturday, go to thefuelshow.com. Check out what we're doing, new car reviews, all the stuff that we have to say.
Portland Tribune, you can also read in there. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Ed McCarthy and Jim Roop for eventually showing up today, and so forth. Coming up tomorrow, Jen Lane, and later on, we have big announcements this week, so stay tuned for that. Like us next, world-famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day with the lovely and talented and bird flu-ridden Sarah X. Dillon for AM 977. Solid State Radio. News director Tim Riley, intern Scotty J. As always, don't let the Masters grind it down. See y'all tomorrow. Bye.